And look how a strategy revealed to a mortal among us in his human excellence before he got revelation broke slavery, broke the grip of slavery. God addressed all of us as the Ibad of God. Yeah, Ibadullah. Yeah, Ibadullah. Here, all human beings, especially the men, all human beings being called by God, being addressed by God as the slaves of God. Bilal heard that, and he refused to go anymore being a slave of a man. He refused to obey his master, and his master tortured him to get him to conform and go back to his slavish behavior he had before. And Bilal would rather die than do that. And he had not even been free to connect with the followers of Muhammad, not to mention to greet Muhammad and see Muhammad and shake his hand or embrace him. And he already, just upon hearing some words that God had revealed to Muhammad, he was already ready to die, be tortured and die, than say, God are these false gods of my slave master. He said, one God. Muhammad had given the revelation, Kul hu Allahu ahad. Say that he, the God, is one alone. No other God with him. Wasn't that Genesis? Wasn't that the message given to Moses for his people? Same message. But when we study this language that I'm addressing right now on the creation in Scripture, covered by mysticism, covered by symbolism, covered in metaphors, etc. When we address this nature of man that God created him in and for, we come to see that God is not only man's creator, but God is also man's teacher. His teacher. And one of the sayings of Muhammad the Prophet addressing what's going to happen in the end of time, he says that God shall teach a person himself. And he will be the mu'allim, a mu'allim, teacher, learned teacher. But he will not be taught by the world. He will not have to go to these schools of theology, or to the seminaries, or to certain madhhabs, searching and trying to find what his brain wants. God will teach him himself. And God has already proven to the whole world that he can take a man and teach him himself and qualify him to be over, not only over men in spiritual matters, but be over men in worldly matters. He made Muhammad the leader of a new people, a new society, a new international community, a new global community of followers who have lands and nations and cultures and industry, governments, etc. That all came with Muhammad's message, with his life and his message to the world. From him came industry, governments, new nations, new cultures, etc. When God created Adam, according to Genesis, though Adam was deceived by Satan, that still didn't block his productive life. From his sons came ironsmiths, metal workers, industrial people. And as a result, we have this great world of material progress and interest in higher education, science and technology, all came from the original man. My Lord, I'm getting light. Can you all put some weights on my feet? I don't want to go up there. I might float right up there and levitate. Gravity, help me, please. So we received something from someone. Says, your teacher wants to hear your response, wants to hear from you. at once. He wants to put you in heaven. You were created to be in heaven. And the world deceived you. Now he wants to put you in heaven. He wants you to have good homes, plenty of money, friendships in all walks of life. Now understand, he said walks of life. So brother, if you're in the drug business, that's the walk of death. If you're in the prostitute business, that's the walk of death. If you're in the falsehood business, lying behind the pulpit, that's the walk of death, etc., etc. Hey! Hallelujah. Come to prayer. Hey! Hallelujah. Come to prayer. But here God has revealed a whole book to be prayer. A whole book to be prayer. So when we come to prayer, we come to the reading and our reciting of Quran. And the imam is not permitted to come up with his own thinking, with his own prayer, with his own dua, while he's leading us in formal prayer, the salat. So God has established a salat for us that is reading, reading the whole book. And it says in the book of the people of the books, that cast your bread on the water. Cast your bread on the water. Have faith to put your bread on the water. Have faith to put your precious knowledge on the water. On the faith of common man. And it'll come back to you. And another saying of the people of the book, that Christ Jesus observed that there was a good man, a Samaritan. And he noticed that people walking down the road knew this man needed help, down and out in the road, couldn't even stand up, couldn't get up on his feet. And some of them passed right by him, hardened, not sympathetic at all, no sympathy in their hearts at all. Passed right by him, stepped around him, stepped over him. But he noticed some others, when they knew they were coming close to where this poor creature was, they chose to walk on the other side of the road so they wouldn't have to see him up close. So it bothered their conscience and their hearts. But along came the Good Samaritan, and he saw him and he stopped. And he was in a hurry, he had a mission. He was on an errand. He was on a mission himself, but he stopped. And didn't have time to stay with this poor victim of society to see that he was taken care of and had all his needs restored to him or taken care of. So he charged others. He said, take him to an inn. Now I know in the Bible it's I-N or I-N-N, but I'm giving it to you E-N-D. Take him to an inn and care for him. Take him to his destination that God created for him. Take him to the destination for his human life that God created him. Take him on the road of personal development that God created for him until he's established in his own social contract. And respects his brother and respects his parents and respects his God who created him and respects his order, his calling. To be a community builder, to be a society builder. And even though he's not ready to lead it, when you wake that up in his soul, when you wake that up in the person, he's ready to join leaders that he sees ready to do that. Praise be to Allah. So he said, take him to an inn. Sit and care for him. And when I return, I will repay you amply. Mr. Farrar saw that. He saw that in the book. And he said, I'm going to do that for these people. And he came and he said, Muhammad, Elijah, called him Kareem sometime, meaning honorable and generous. He said, we're going to build this temple. We're going to build this house. and I want you to keep them in. Don't let them mix with others outside. Keep them in. Keep them in. And when I return, I'm going to amply reward you. It's going to cost a little bit. This white world, if they don't mistreat you and let you live your life and come to your destination, I'll return and even reward them for not being mean to you, for not depriving them of your life that your nature seeks. And look how our life that denounced this whole world, whole white world, as a world of devils who couldn't help it because they were inherently evil, have changed and moved forward with human development that God created us for. We have moved forward to get their admiration and respect. To get their admiration and respect. And now the biggest gift that America can get, and the West too, is to embrace Islam and respect it and not go against it and let it thrive in the West. Because if you do, it's going to amply reward you. Praise be to Allah. We thank our God who has given us back our good senses. We thank our God who has put us back in our real life and connected us with all the wonderful connections that can make our life more beautiful and more productive. Those vital connections that were created by our Creator. But in my conclusion for this part of the khutbah, brothers, students, thinkers, when you turn toward the Kaaba, know that you're turning toward a symbol, a sign, a symbol, a sign that holds the message that I have just given you in this khutbah and much more. A universal sign, a universal symbol with message to help us establish the universal life that God wants all human beings in, regardless of their nationality, their color, etc. Allahu Akbar. And he says to let you know that he's not in that house, your nature's in that house. And your nature that he created for you can unite the whole world of mankind. And one great sanctuary created by God for man. And how does he tell us he's not in that house? He says, and wherever you are, turn your faces to this house. But also he says, regardless to the direction you turn, you're going to see my face. And any way that you choose to turn, there you will find the face of God. But don't seek to see it with those eyes that grow to have problems like mine, and you have to put on glasses to see what you used to see when you were younger up close. There's another eye inside of you. It's singular, it's not two. It can see the face of your Lord. Praise be to Allah. We are very happy to be here today. And we pray to Allah that He bless Muhammad. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad as you bless Abraham. And bless the followers of Muhammad as you bless the followers of Abraham. And we ask Allah to make Muhammad and his followers successful as he made the followers of Abraham and the followers of Abraham successful. Surely he's praised and magnified. I mean. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear believers, we were taught to pray to the Creator of the heavens and earth, while we are at the same time taught to not to believe in anything except the objective material world and man. We were taught
two teachings, and one who taught us this used one as a strategy to attract us.
He knew that religion we were under was really oppression. That it kept our pockets empty. It kept our neighborhoods in bad repair. It kept our men drunk and kept our women serving the white community and not the black community. All but a few of them. All but a few of them. Very few. Left our communities in bad shape. So here is a man coming. He wants to resurrect not only an individual black man, but he wants to resurrect black neighborhoods. And he's coming from the Quran. He's empowered with the Quran, wherein God says, giving us a parable of another resurrection. He said, in their town, the likeness of it is a town where the roofs, the place is neglected and the roofs are caving in. But for it is a resurrection. Telling us that when we find neighborhoods or communities and towns neglected, their homes neglected, their structures ruined, their structures not appreciated, their roofs caving in, signs up there abandoned, etc. Don't use this bottle. Windows boarded up and doors boarded up. God is telling us in the Quran that we have to rise up to the challenge, and we have to bring new life, a renaissance, a resurrection to that neglected dead town. So we are not just dead as individuals, mentally dead as individuals, we are mentally dead as a community, we are mentally dead as a people, we are mentally dead as neighborhoods, and many of us still are mentally dead as neighborhoods. But we got the light now, and we got the way to resurrect not only people, but to resurrect buildings and neighborhoods. And we are going to do it because that's our obligation too. Allah has not put us here just to treat and work
on establish a man in his spiritual life. God has obligated us to establish our community life. And he says, Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. You are the best, the most useful, the most beneficial of communities. You have been brought out of darkness and corruption. You have been evolved for the benefit of all good people.
That's enough for me. I don't need any stimulant. That's strong enough for me. I got enough motivation to take over the world in the name of God. Not for me, but for human life and God. Yes, but it ain't necessary. It ain't necessary. The world is not as backwards as it used to be. The world is not as ignorant as it used to be. The world is not even as uncivilized as it used to be. The world has grown in great knowledge, but they have let the Satan design the world. And God told Muhammad, he said, he told Muhammad later, the Gabriel, the archangel, he said, let me show you my creation, Jibreel, Gabriel. And he showed it to Gabriel. And Gabriel said, my Lord, you didn't know Gabriel talked like poor people. Gabriel said, my Lord, that's just, whenever poor people are hit with something heavy, my Lord. Gabriel said, my Lord. In a world like this, how can
anybody go wrong? And then God, with his great power to do so, he immediately, instantly showed him the picture of the world after Satan had his way with it. And poor Jibreel, he said, my Lord. How can anybody go straight, be right in such a crooked world? So we have let the Satan take over everything. And some of us think that we can find Satan in a person.
Some people of the church thought they could identify Satan, and they identified Satan as the Pope. Yeah, they did. They thought the Pope was Satan. And in Jesus' time, many thought Christ Jesus was Satan. At least they said it. Yeah. Now, how are we to deal with this big problem? Satan ruling in the public life. And if he rules in the public life, he's going to rule in the private life of those who don't have the intelligence to deal with the big problem of Satan in the public life. So if they're not already protected by very special knowledge revealed to man from God, they're not, that public life comes in and take over their private life. Comes right in by the way of TV, radio, records, entertainment records, etc., and other things. It comes right into the house and takes them over too. So Satan, he has most of the world. How are we going to get it back? We're not going to get it back by looking for a person. Satan is not John Paul II. I've met with him. He ain't that heavy. He's heavy, but he ain't that heavy. That ain't Satan. And I've met with some of the other personalities that people thought was the devil. And they ain't that heavy. They ain't that heavy. So Allah knows that we little mortals, human beings, that we have not the power to deal with Satan on our own. Don't even try it. God already made your first father, and he put him in the most excellent mold. He gave him everything that he could give any other human being. All we can do is inherit from our father what he deposited into our father. So don't think you're going to get more than what he created Adam with. Your brain is no better than Adam's brain. Same brain. And his was protected by God, and God created it. So God made it a little above ours. He had direct help from God for his brain. And Satan still got him. Made him slip out of the dress, or out of the form of social life, community life, that God had created him to be in. Yes. So don't try it. God wants us to know how to deal with him. And fight the schemes of Satan, for his schemes are weak. I was in
prison for refusing to accept to go to the war. And the Jehovah's Witnesses were locked up too, because they were conscience objectors, they didn't want to go to war either. So there was a young preacher in jail with me. And he was always trying to get me, I guess he said while he's in jail, maybe I can get him to come to Christianity. They always working on me. So here I am, man, got a milk problem, just married to a fine black woman and can't get to her. They locked me up right after I married her. And I didn't want to be bothered with that man. I had no interest in teaching him or preaching to him. I had enough problems to hold me for the rest of my 3 years that they gave me to serve. They made me a little mad, and I'm a very hard man to get upset. So I started putting it on him. And you know we could put some stuff on him. Dalai Lama Muhammad gave us a lot of stuff to put on. I started putting it on him, and he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan. I said, wait a minute, brother. I say, I'm still looking at you, and you turn your back to me. I say, you are running, but I'm standing. I say, your book says, rebuke Satan, and he'll run from you. I say, how come you can't chase me away? You're running. Allahu Akbar. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God. So we thank God. God has done something special with a very peculiar people, made peculiar by this white world that took us and uprooted us from our people's traditions in Africa.
So that we had to just take what was ever within our reach. We took the church and then got treated so bad by them in the church, we had to leave that church and go out and establish our own church. I think this is the AME church, right? African Methodist Episcopalian Church. Had to go. You see how a black man, you know, you can tell he was desperate. African Methodist Episcopalian. It looked like he just could have stopped with African Methodist. But he said, no, this is shortchanging us a little bit too. We need another one. Thank you very much. Praise be to Allah. We ask Allah to contain us in what He has created us for. I ask Him to imprison us, if necessary, in what He has created for us, and not let us be free to go about on our own with our little frail minds and thinking, seeking a future and seeking directions for ourselves in this most complicated world that has been made complicated by the Satan himself, as the Bible say, the most subtle of the creatures in the earth, most deceitful, most the wisest and most deceitful creature in the earth. So I hope God protect us, even if He have to keep us in prisons. Contain us until we are safe to go out on our own. Let us stay in Quran. Let us stay in the life ways of Muhammad the Prophet and his teachings. Obey Allah and obey His messenger. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasulah. Obey Allah, God, and obey His messenger. And whatever His messenger gives you, accept it. God says, whatever His messenger gives you, accept it. Let us not question a man that was already impeccable, that was already without human flaws, had lived for 40 years among false idols and false idol worshippers, and had retained the human mold that God created for Adam. Let's follow that man and love him more than we love our families, love him more than we love our own selves, because he is our original self, par excellence. And God has said that he is a model for not only us Muslims, but for any who believe in God and the last day. I mean, any who believe in God and know that they're going to have to pay the bill one day. Know that they're going to have to account for their behavior one day. That's what it means, and believe in the last day. Not just believe in God, but also believe in Al-Akhirah. Believe in also that one day, whether in this body or after you're gone here, God says he knows how to do something bigger than the mythical figure that says Shazam. So he could say it in like in a twinkling of an eye, a new creation is already here. Science tells us that all this is going to disappear, not only religion. Science says that the sun is dying. All these material bodies are dying. One day they will not be existing. And that day can come quicker than we think. Time in this mortal life seems slow. But who knows how fast that clock goes once you're dead and in your grave. That clock may spin around so fast, you'll wake up as the scripture says, and you say, it seemed that I only went to sleep for a night. And here I am before God, having to answer for the way I live, the life he created me for. So don't take these things lightly. And don't praise man too much. The secular world, especially those professors that you have in these colleges, they want to play religion cheap. Oh, it's myth. It's not rational, etc. It's based upon belief. Nobody has proven these things. Allah says, man, why don't you question your own self? Why don't you question your own creation? Now, when you look at this scientific world and read what they give you, they have all of these great sciences supported by what? Theory. Theory. They can't prove it either. They have guessed it. They have said this and this and that and that. In this situation and in that situation, when we come up, after observing all of this, we conclude that there's a molecular order to matter. And they call it the molecular theory. There's a theory for what is the base reality for the material world and how it was formed, and how it operates. And they, believing in it, a theory, can't prove it. They're believing in it, and it, they have followed what it suggested, what the theory suggested. And they have been able to discover atomic power. They have been able to discover many wonderful things. And the prophets are no different than they are. Prophets are a sign of what's coming later. Allah revealed to the prophets, and the prophets accepted upon faith. Allah says in there, the people, righteous people, they say, we have heard a call in the land, calling to faith. Calling to faith. And we return saying, we have believed. We have believed. And look what God did for those that Muhammad called to faith. And they responded and said to Muhammad, we know you. We know you're not a liar. You have, for 40 years before you got this idea, you have been an honorable man. We call you the trustworthy one, El Amin. And we call you the truthful one, as Sadiq. We know you don't lie. And they heard the call and they accepted the faith that he invited them to. And look what happened. Universities sprung up all over the Middle East, Syria, Iraq, and in other places, Egypt, sprung up universities by people who were not to expect to even have an interest in higher education. These great things sprung up, and they became the torch bearers of civilization and sparked the light to make a renaissance, a revival of the dead mind of the West. And they came into a renaissance themselves, and that is why we have all these modern sciences and all these great ideas today. So who is really the leader of the new world? Take away its sins, take away its corruption, take away its violation of God's law, and Muhammad is their benefactor. Muhammad is their leader. He's the leader of the modern world, and that's our man. And don't let the Christian church tell you you don't have anything. First, they have a personal Savior, and you don't have a personal Savior. Allah says that he's so close to us, he's closer to us than our own jugular vein, our own life vein. And he says, there's nothing between me and a servant who calls on me for help. Not even a veil, not even a thin partition, a thin cloth separates that person from God. You tell me I don't have a personal God? And God says, yuhadhirukumullahu nafsa. God cautions you himself, not through a priest. He cautions you himself directly. Yuhadhirukumullahu nafsa. It is he himself who cautions you. No priesthood in Islam. And you'll have to come to me. Don't make an imam a priest. Some of you are trying to make your imam priest. They're not priests. You carry them. They don't carry you. And they are only accepted in this position as long as they obey the Quran and obey Muhammad's teachings in his life. That's what qualifies them. And Allah has obligated through Muhammad, he has obligated all of the believers to read the Quran and get familiar with it. He didn't say, well, there's some we know too much for them. Don't require all the people to read Quran. He excuses none of us. He requires all of us to read the Quran and get familiar with it. And Muhammad requires all of us, and God requires all of us to know Muhammad in his life. To know how he led prayers. And all of us are to qualify to lead prayers. All of us. To follow Muhammad's way, called the Sunnah. And we are to qualify to lead prayer. You're supposed to be able to lead yourself at home in prayer. Not just with us when you meet in congregation. You're required to lead your family in prayer. Especially the male in the family. Or the oldest son in the family, if you have no father there. The son who qualifies for that job. So Allah has not put this community life upon a sacred order or upon a priesthood. He has put this community life upon the people. Upon the people. Yadullahu Jamal. That's the saying in Islam. Allah's control is on the collective people. He doesn't control us through me or through any single person. But he obligates all of us to know what is Islam and what is not Islam. And he controls, his control is on the whole collective people, the whole collective body. Freedom Day, brother. Freedom Day. Peace. So we ask Allah to forgive us our errors, to forgive us our ignorance, to forgive us our shortcomings. and do not let our hearts return to ignorance and corruption after he hath guided us right, and save us from the fires of hell. Amen.
Be sure and join us next time for the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.